Hello everybody and welcome to episode 45 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I am, as per usual, your host Chris. Let's go and join this week by editor-in-chief of the SixAxis.com and managing director of Oscar Mike Media, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hello. Alright, don't say hello back or anything, will you?
You didn't say hello.
I did say hello.
Oh, Skype didn't say it.
You always blame Skype for your rudeness.
Yeah, I'm just a dick, really, but I'm just like Skype. It was all Skype. Also joined this week by Lewis Gaston, editor-in-chief over at screendim.com. Say hello, Lewis.
Hello.
Right. Quickly.
Hello, Lewis.
Hello, Peter.
Nice to hear your voice again.
Thanks.
Well, it's just got kind of creepy now. Bit man-lovey.
It's society's crime, not ours.
If you don't like it, go away.
Yeah, if I just left you two on this podcast by yourselves, that would not end well.
It would end very well.
Have a happy ending.
It'd end with a cigarette and a snooze.
fuck's sake! PlayStation Network.
Peter's trying to... Because we're recording this on Thanksgiving, so Peter's trying to get on Batman to go talk to Calendar Man.
It's lost my Catwoman code.
No, it's probably not that.
It's probably just Batman's broken. That game is fairly broken. Quickly, because I'm feeling passive aggressive, we make no attempts to fact check this podcast in any way. Anything we say is just our opinion. In no way should be treated as factual. Thank you very much.
So stop fucking moaning.
Yeah, moving swiftly onwards.
Cheer up. Don't be such a grumpy old sod.
Yeah. Moving on. The Vita launch lineup for the UK has been announced.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, you know it fucking has.
Well, I know, I'm just kind of stalling so I can find what it is, because there's a lot of things on it.
Yeah, games. Games and that.
Games and that.
I can tell you, almost certainly, that Escape Plan, Sound Shapes, and... and MotorStorm RC will all be on that launch lineup.
Uncharted. Yeah.
RC is in remote control.
No, seriously. Think MotorStorm mixed with Micro Machines.
Yeah, Micro Machines was fucking awesome.
Might be alright. Who knows?
Mm.
Little Big Planet is missing the launch window, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, it depends what you define as launch window. If you take Nintendo's definition of launch window, it's probably in it.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, the 3DS is still launching its launch window, I think, for Nintendo. Still,
yeah, pretty much. Well, it's just got its first Mario game, hasn't it?
They were like 6 months. They're like, that's not a launch window.
Like, Nintendo sells software so slowly.
Yeah, but you can't have a launch window that includes a price cut within that window. That's true. Not a launch window anymore. Oh, yes. What other games?
Right. Somebody has lost my Catwoman code.
Well, it's probably Rocksteady.
Not fucking amused. Still, never mind. She was shit anyway. What other games? Little Deviants, which I quite like the look of.
Oh, that was good. We had a nice... Someone sent us a thing of that.
Yeah. ModNation Racers Road Trip, which will hopefully be better than the PSP version of that game.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'd be better than the PS3 version of that game.
Oh, the PS3 version was all right.
Just load times.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was full of load times.
Just, we'll sit there for a day while you wait to get in your race. This game has you sorted out, man.
Yeah.
Would you like to play another game while waiting to load into a ModNation Racers race? Because
their load times are about as long as a Nintendo launch window. what else are we having?
Continuity.
Yeah, see, that was a little callback. Oh, everybody's golf?
Yeah.
No, nobody not interested mine. In everybody's golf?
It's not mine.
I really like everybody's golf. Uncharted Wipeout, Reality Fighters, which looks a bit shit.
Little Uncharted Deviant. Wipeout?
Yeah, and oh, that would be a game.
Is that like Drake in a hover bike?
Yeah. Yeah. And halfway around the track starts to fall away. It's just racing towards the camera.
And then the camera spins around. Yeah.
Oh, we're not allowed to say bad things about Uncharted.
We best not start that one again.
Yeah, apparently if we say bad things
people about whine and cry like little babies.
Cannot say bad things about Uncharted. We'll be shot.
Which is daft.
Yes.
It's all right.
Seeing as they're not just for the sake of it, they are genuine complaints.
And it's not like we said, oh, Uncharted, it's really shit. It's not. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's just got a couple of bits that annoy us. Yeah, people are allowed to be annoyed at things unless it's lack of fact-checking on this podcast, and then you're not allowed to be annoyed.
I think the thing with Uncharted is because it in general was such a good experience, the bits that aren't great really stick out.
Yeah.
Like if it was mediocre all the way through, the bits that weren't quite as good wouldn't stick out.
Yeah. If you had a massive pristine diamond that was the size of your fist, but it had a little crack in it, you'd spot the crack.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you'd probably be quite annoyed at it.
I think the best overreaction to criticism came from Mr. Ronaldo via Twitter after I first started playing Uncharted 3. And I believe his words were, people nitpicking at Uncharted should fuck off and die.
Oh.
... Hard.
Yeah. With a vengeance.
I thought that was, you know, charming.
There are people who... I kind of feel bad saying this, but over on Shirt, there are people who I would normally respect who seem to get a little bit fanboy-y over that series.
Yeah. In a massive way. Which is okay. I mean, we all have things that we love a lot and don't like other people criticising. But at a certain point, just shut the fuck up and let other people have opinions.
Yes. I don't need to share your opinion because you're wrong. So.
Anyway. Yeah, that's about it for the first party stuff that's launching with the Vita.
And then other games as well.
And then, yeah, there's going to be third party stuff as well, but I can't find that list.
That's a gigantic list, though. And it wasn't really broken up into launch window-y stuff.
Oh, no, that was basically just, this is what is in development for that.
It's just a huge list. It was like, there are games. You're all right. Like, okay, Sony. We get the other developers are supporting your platform. Chill. It's all right.
Oh, I really hope the Vita does well.
Yeah, probably. I don't want one because it's money.
Yeah. I know. But I hope it does well.
And also, I wouldn't use it. It would just sit there.
See, this is the problem I have. I really, really want one because I think it looks brilliant. But I'm very dubious because I thought the PSP looked brilliant as well and kind of didn't really enjoy that at all. So I'm kind of a little bit sceptical. But I think that it has every potential to do well. I'm really looking forward to it. I just don't know if I'm going to get the use out of it that I would like to.
Yeah.
But that's... like you say, there's a massive list of third-party games, so hopefully.
Exactly.
And if not, I will just play everybody's golf.
Mm.
And Uncharted, so I can slag it off.
I should be like, oh, this is not good. I still, yeah, we're not going, no, let's not talk too much about Uncharted.
Because at a certain point, we are just doing it to wind people up.
Yeah, it's at the bottom of the list. And if we get to it, we get to it. And if we don't, we don't. I finished Uncharted 3.
Hurrah! I haven't.
It's all right. Oh, you gave up after it, that chapter crashed and you don't want to, but you've heard the next chapter's really good.
Yeah.
The next chapter is really good and that chapter is like 2 minutes long.
Ah.
So yeah, I'd play through it.
Chapter 10.
Because we had loads of people who agreed that
it crashed at
the start of chapter 10.
It crashed on me on chapter 10 with the title still on the screen, and you said it's exactly when it crashed
exactly
on you.
Exactly what I had. I mean, there were quite a few other people who tweeted back that said, yeah, they had exactly that.
Odd.
I have to say, I had no crashes whatsoever.
That was the only one I had. And I've had a couple of other games. I think it is only in Uncharted, I'm not sure. Might have been Sonic, because I've played the 3 Uncharted and Sonic on my PS3.
Sonic probably crashed because your PS3 was just too disappointed.
But the thing I've noticed is the PS... Like, either my 360 doesn't crash very often, or when it does crash, I'm sure I can still use the guide button to get home and, like, just come out of the game. But
Yeah, there are, like, two levels of crashing, and it's the same with a PS3. Sometimes the PS3 crashes, but the menu still works, the XMB still works. But sometimes it hard crashes the whole lot.
Yeah, see, I don't think my 360's ever hard crashed on me.
Mine has a couple of times, I think. Crackdown, I think, crashed it a couple of times.
It's red-ringed, definitely, which is different.
Which is, yeah, that's kind of like a crash times 10.
Yeah. That's quite a hard crash.
But I don't think I ever.
Could you still use the guide button?
Yeah, it just didn't do much. Just flashed red at me. I was angry.
Maybe it flashes red because it warns you of radiation poisoning.
Oh, the fucking...
Coming from the battery pack.
The weird thing I found with 360 once is... what was it? I think I was moving it and I unplugged the plug while it was still on. And when I plugged the plug back in, it was flashing red rings at me and I shit myself because I was like, oh, that's the second one. I don't want a second one to have happened. But then I just unplugged it, plugged it back in, and it was fine. So I think it was just a glitch where I just unplugged it from the mains and it wasn't too happy about it.
I don't understand how that massive power brick thing on the 360 works. Because sometimes it has a green light, sometimes it has an orange light.
Yeah, I don't know what the orange light means. Is it a green light when it's on?
Surge?
I'm not sure.
I think
it's orange when it's off and green when it's on.
Is it?
I think.
Yeah, oh fuck, I don't know. Who knows? All I know is that it glows down the back of the TV and annoys me.
And it's fucking fucking huge, that thing.
Yeah, and really heavy.
Yeah, you could beat a man to death with that power brick.
Yeah.
And it weighs like as much as the rest of the console does.
Yeah.
Especially if you fashioned it and the cord into some sort of, you know, mental catapult.
Yeah, that'd work well.
Just swung it around your head.
Just swing it around your head and let loose. Like, kind of like a mace.
Hmm.
Yeah, I could see that working. Probably break your power brick, though. Probably better weapons to use, to be honest.
I don't know. It feels
the Xbox.
So that's my personal advice. Don't use your power brick as a weapon. Go buy actual weapons. Actually, no, my advice, don't kill people. That's my new advice.
Really?
Oh, you're so boring.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can't do anything.
We don't...
Not allowed to touch children. Not allowed to kill people.
The Sick Faxist does not condone murder. We do personally, but the organisation doesn't.
Yeah. These are our personal opinions, but we don't speak for the Sick Faxist.
No one does, apparently. It's magic.
Yeah. It just exists. It is an entity on its own.
And has no opinions. Well, no opinions that are ever voiced, anyway.
We're not allowed opinions. We get too opinion-y, then people moan and complain. Can't have opinions on the internet. Jesus.
Well, you can, as long as they're not about Uncharted.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? China? Oh, wait.
Was there any more news?
Well, not really. It's winter, so there's not news.
Yeah, games are out.
There's the PS3 plays TV shows now, I guess. And they're really expensive and no one's going to buy them.
Yeah, they're a little bit expensive. They're not, I mean, what, TV shows on iTunes aren't much cheaper, I don't think.
No, but that's my point, is that in general they are too expensive.
Oh, yeah, well, yes, that's certainly true. Yeah, and they're like, well, to be fair, some of them, I looked at them this morning, some of them were like $1.49 per episode, which is quite expensive. Some of them were $2.49 per episode.
Yeah.
Which is insane. When you think, like, some of these shows have like 24 episode runs.
Yeah.
I'm shit at maths, but I know that that's a lot of money.
The thing that doesn't make any sense is you compare it to the cost of the show on Blu-ray or DVD.
Yeah, which is a removable media, which doesn't take up the costly hard disk space either.
And also like has distribution costs associated with it.
And extra features.
Yeah.
You don't get any special features if you buy downloads like that.
Yep, and it's still significantly cheaper. Because someone costed it out, and it's about £50 for your average American series on the store, and a Blu-ray of your average series costs, what, about 30 when it comes out new?
Yeah, probably roughly
about
around
30,
that.
25, 30 quid. I think even the RRP would probably be about 40, so buying them digitally is still more than the RRP.
Which is mental.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, probably a good proportion of that is Sky's fault.
Probably.
Because Sky will have a hand in however much it costs, and Sky like to charge as much as possible for everything.
Yeah. Well, eventually the iTunes music model will get through to people.
Yeah, maybe.
And now songs and albums on iTunes cost significantly less than they do if you were to buy the physical version.
And it's bringing down the cost of physical versions as well, I think.
Yeah, to compete. Which I'm fine with, to be honest.
What I found recently,
Yeah, what I found recently and I really like as well is a lot of indie bands, like not indie as in the genre, indie as in what indie actually means, like signed to independent labels. They will, if you buy like the CD, the physical copy, they'll send you the MP3 as well. So you get the MP3 version of the album immediately, and the CD comes whenever it comes in the post. And I thought that's a really nice way of doing it, because then you've got both. People like me who are freaks and like to have CDs still.
Yeah, I kind of, all my CDs are in storage. I ripped most of them to iTunes a while back and put them in storage because I have boxes and boxes of CDs.
Yeah.
So basically anything that means that I don't have more shite cluttering up my shelves is a good thing.
Yeah.
I used to be a nutter about physical CDs, but now I'm a nutter about iTunes. Like, my iTunes library has to be catalogued properly, album covers all downloaded, everything synced nicely. I'm a real nutter about my iTunes now.
You're a scary man.
Yeah, that is going a little far, I think.
Why?
Well, it's not really something you can alphabetize, is it? You just click a button and it goes there, done.
No, but iTunes doesn't list albums properly. Like, especially if it's someone featuring someone else, it will. There are 10 tracks featuring other people, it would list them as 10 different albums.
It doesn't need, you just need to go and get it right.
No, I do get it right. But then you have to change all the settings and tell it it's not a compilation and do weird shit like that.
Yeah, well, it kind of got fixed quite a lot when they added the album artist field. That worked well.
Okay. What is that about?
What?
Album artist.
Oh, so you can have... So you have, like,
album artist.
Artist of the track, which would be, like, X featuring Y. But the actual album artist is just X.
Ah. Like exhibit.
Yes.
X to the Z.
Does anyone own an exhibit album?
Yes.
Peter owns all of Exhibit's back catalogue.
I think I own maybe 3 exhibit albums. X to the Z.
And now he's doing Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Is he?
Bless him. Yeah.
Oh.
Crying on the bus when a family gives their sob story.
That's just how he do.
What happened to your exhibit? You went from Pimp My Ride to Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Well, man's got to earn.
That is true.
Bless him.
Anyway,
games. Peter, talking of games. This is a rubbish segue. Have you been playing Saints Row the Third?
Saints Row the Third, yes, I have.
Like, slightly more original than just calling it Saints Row 3, to be honest.
Yeah, well, because they were from Third Row, weren't they?
Oh, were they?
Isn't that what? Yeah, that's in the town they were on, I think. Something like that.
I assume they were from Saints Row.
No, the gangs are called the Saints.
Oh, okay.
And I think they were originally from Third Street or Third something. I don't know. So there you go. So the Third sort of all fits into that. Saints Row the Third is all the advertising for it, with the swinging the big purple dildo and all that sort of shit, is, and the Genki, the funny cat man. All that shit is like really sort of puerile and like, yeah, it's all right. I have quite an immature sense of humor sometimes, and that is quite funny. And
yes,
the way that massive purple dildo baseball bat flops about is amusing, but it's kind of a one-dimensional joke. But the actual game isn't... It does have that streak through it, but it's also got this really sort of clever postmodern streak, and it takes the piss out of celebrity culture all the way through, and it is really genuinely funny in places, and quite intelligently so, which was really surprising. But primarily what it is basically just batshit mental. This game is just insane.
I really want to play it because it does look properly crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I can't even explain how crazy it is. There are, like, you have to get to these points yourself, because the impact of just how mental this game gets
is
amazing.
They talk about it on the Bombcast, and they said it is, I think the direct quote was, it is perhaps one of the best wrestling games THQ has ever produced.
Yeah.
At that point, I was just like, oh, what? What is this game?
Yeah, that's, yeah, absolutely. But it's not, I mean, you can't even explain. Like, I don't really want to say what happens, because...
I need to go and experience this and see what happens.
Yeah, everybody should play Saints Row the Third, because it's worth getting to it. There is a story to it, and it has got a storyline through it, but it doesn't...
No, I mean, is there a narrative so that if I haven't played the first two?
Oh, not really. Basically, it's summed up as you're a gang, you took over this little sort of small city.
That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And now you are celebrities because you took over this town.
Hmm.
Which is also, that's something else that they make jokes out of all the way through. For some reason, the Saints, the gang, is like massive celebrity now. So like prison, the first mission, you're robbing a bank and the police come to arrest you and they ask you to autograph your weapon before you set it down. All the way through, like you'll do missions which are crazy and you kill like, I don't know, 500 people and like dozens of cars exploding and all sorts of shit. You can call in missile strikes. Like one of the first missions, it gives you a weapon and it's a missile strike where you get like a little remote control drone thing and you can shoot missiles. Fucking mad. I can't remember what I was saying now. Saints Row is so mental. It has just distracted me from the second half of that sentence. It really is just mad. It's like every idea that somebody had, if they thought that it sounded like it was going to be fun, they just went, yeah, fuck it, put it in. And it has so many, it's probably the most sort of joyous video game that I've played in a long time that knows that it's a video game and doesn't want to be anything else. It's not trying to give you a plot and it's not trying to sort of tackle issues. It just wants to be fun. It wants to make you smile all the way through. And I think it's brilliant. I think everybody should play it. There you go.
Would you say it is perhaps a game of the year?
Yes, I think it's definitely a contender for game of the year. I think it is very, I think its appeal will be very fleeting. I think it will be, people will enjoy it while they're playing it, but it doesn't leave much with you afterwards.
Okay, sure.
So, yeah, I think it will definitely need to be considered for Game of the Year, but I'm not sure it will stand up next to, like, Uncharted 3 and Portal 2.
Another game I need to play in, like, the next fortnight.
Yeah, but you don't need to play much of it.
Can I just play that first insane mission?
If you play it for like 2 hours, you'll know what the rest of the game's going to be like.
Oh, okay.
But you should over the course of the next few months, you should play it all the way through to the end. It's only like maybe, I don't know, I suppose maybe between 10 and 15 hours long.
All right.
For the missions, there's an awful lot of sort of little side missions and stuff you can do, but for the main storyline. So you should just try and rattle through that.
I also need to play Skyrim.
Yeah. Skyrim's a longer proposition.
I don't know if there's enough hours left this year to play enough Skyrim to judge it.
Just give your vote to me.
You will give it to Skyrim.
I'll call Skyrim for you.
Oh, right. I must talk to you about
Skyrim's a good game.
I need to talk to you about Game of the Year stuff later on anyway. Okay. Page one. Here we are, next thing on the list. I watched a documentary called Page One about the New York Times. It's really, really good. Peter, you would love this. You really need to watch it.
Is this, you said up on Twitter last night about
it? You'd love it, I think. Because it's not just kind of, it's, they decided to shoot a documentary about the New York Times and then didn't realize, they obviously didn't know stuff like, so basically this documentary was being shot at the same time as like half the papers in the US went under, and well, more than half, like most of the papers in the US have now gone under, because the US operated this weird system, didn't they, where most papers were kind of local papers because of the size of the country.
Yeah, they still are, really. There's, if, well, it's kind of difficult to get papers from big cities in opposite coasts.
Yeah. So essentially you kind of had like the New York Times, the Washington Post and the LA Times were kind of like national papers that started out locally. And then everything else was kind of much more local. And so kind of you've had this situation in the States where an awful lot of the local papers are now gone under and just vanished completely. This was happening at the same time. And also where they were shooting, there was all the stuff with WikiLeaks was going on. So there's an awful lot, not just in it about the Times, but about the future of media, the future of news, the future of newspapers. Will newspapers continue as a model? And also all this, but other fantastic stuff about the importance of the New York Times, not just to newspapers, but to news reporting in general.
Absolutely. And journalism in general.
Yeah, so there's this amazing section where they're sort of looking at the impact of the New York Times, and they're pointing out like a lot of stuff, like sites like Gawker taking, and even other newspapers take stories that were originally printed in the Times and repurpose them, or write opinion pieces in sort of going against the opinion in the Times. And this was actually, there's a bit in it called the New York Times effect, which is you could directly, not so much anymore, but back in sort of the 50s and earlier, you could directly track the spread of a story to the analog distribution of the New York Times. So to the distribution patterns of the paper, like had a one-to-one correspondence with how a story spread to sort of second tier papers, which is
as the New York Times made its way across the country, the local papers picked up.
Yeah, exactly. which is crazy when you think about it.
Yeah,
that it would have that much influence, and it's just kind of, and but there's amazing stuff just in it in general. It's such a good film, and everyone should watch it because it kind of just shows how important newspapers are, and that kind of news reporting, and how important the fact that and makes some brilliant points about why paywalls are like a logical model for newspaper websites to move to. And this sort of thing is so good.
Is it out on DVD or is it?
Yeah,
is
it's out. It's out on DVD. I watched it on DVD last night.
Cool.
It's fantastic. Such a good film. There's this guy in it called David Carr, because a lot of it focuses about, because obviously the story turns into the future of media. So a lot of it focuses around the media desk at the Times, which is also the newest desk at the Times. It's only been around for about 5-10 years or something. So reporting on the rest of the media and also reporting on the Times itself. And it centers generally around that desk and the editor and one of his writers called David Carr, who you kind of see him traveling. There's lots of it that kind of follows him, because he's very interesting, has thoughts about the future of the Times and the future of media. But you'll get bits where he is narrating by reading out his stories, but he has this kind of amazing, really gravelly voice that just, it works really well. But there was this fantastic bit in it where they point out that all the people who rally against, paywalling, he says, well, if you look at papers, newspapers have always, there's always been this split in newspapers where you pay for the newspaper, but it has advertising in it as well. And also
the whole thing with a little bit of the first part of a story being on the front cover and then turn to page 6 for the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Similar thing.
This kind of stuff. And they're saying it's natural, really, for newspapers to go to a paywall model. And I actually buy that, personally, because it wasn't something I'd thought of before, but they point this out to you and you go, oh, well, no, actually that makes sense that this is a business model that newspapers want to adopt.
Yeah, I think the whole paywalling thing, I think that it makes sense and I would like to see it be successful, but I don't think it makes sense given the nature of the internet.
No.
I don't think that it makes sense to do it now when we've had the internet for so many years now and it has all been free.
Yeah.
I think people sort of will resist that. I would agree.
But there's other things. It's sort of the fact that newspapers are, they are one of the very few business propositions that don't always take the logical or profit-driven route. In fact, papers that take the profit-driven route fail. And papers that don't, papers like The Times, who there is very little profit in sending, in having agencies around the world,
yeah,
in long term. And if in stuff like if you weigh the risk reward of having a writer embedded in Baghdad, or the New York Times still maintains a Baghdad news agency, which is crazy. Those sort of things, the risk reward of those, there are very few businesses that would see it as a profitable move to make.
Well, there is a sort of a split in newspapers worldwide, or particularly in the West. I can't comment on other regions, where there are sort of traditional newspapers which have a legacy, like the New York Times, and like the London Times even. And then there are papers which are run for profit.
Yeah.
Which in the UK would be like tabloids and stuff.
Yeah.
So there is that kind of split, but I think that generally speaking, people see the quality in the newspapers which are run for the purpose of delivering news.
Yeah.
Rather than newspapers which run, make up shit to make money, basically.
Like, I don't necessarily agree with the viewpoint of the Telegraph or the Times, but you get that they are run as papers to give news to the people, to disseminate news. Like, I don't necessarily agree.
They value the craft of journalism.
Yeah. And yes, there is certainly, I wouldn't say there is necessarily a direct bias in the journalism in those papers, but there is certainly a reporting bias, but there's a reporting bias in all papers, in that they will cherry pick stories that to an extent fit their agenda.
Yeah.
And even The Independent, which was launched as completely counter to that, is a very left wing paper now. But there was the line that really sold to me on why newspapers need to exist is there was a guy at some Senate hearings on the future of the newspaper industry, and sitting there with the head of the Huffington Post, who I can't stand, and he simply said, "The day I see a blogger from the Huffington Post at a hearing of the Baltimore Zoning Commission, I will agree that the internet is right to take over from newspapers." And that was kind of what sold it to me, is because you don't get that kind of reporting on the internet very often, and certainly not by big media outlets on the internet.
Well, no, well, that's because of the nature of the way the internet works.
Yeah.
But yeah, the least said about the Huffington Post, the better.
Yeah, but that is why newspapers need to exist. And it was also brilliant to see when they talk about aggregators, and this guy from a site called newser.com was talking about how aggregators are the future, and like sort of user selected content, like showing stuff based on the number of hits, etc. And he was talking about how mainstream media perhaps needs to go away in form of this, and that the internet and news aggregation will be the future. And the guy was on the same as a panel, and this guy David Carr from the New York Times was on the same panel, and he held up a printout of the site and said, "This is a fantastic site. I actually love aggregation sites. I think they're a brilliant way of getting all the opinions on the story and that sort of thing. So, however, I disagree about the need for mainstream media to go away." And he showed another version that had every story sourced from mainstream media cut out of the page, just sort of cut that story out, and there were only about 4 stories left on this massive page. That kind of, it shows you the value of old school media.
And I think also in that instance, there is a confusion between what's popular and what's quality.
Certainly, certainly.
I think news aggregator sites, because of the way most of them rank stuff, tend to just rank sensationalist stuff higher, because that's what people click on. That's what people want, really. Yeah. And that's the most popular stuff. But in that sort of noise, you lose a lot of genuine quality reporting. And that's a shame. And that's the stuff that traditional media in all, like, this scales all the way down to even what we do. There are traditional print media outlets that do stuff that we just can't do on the internet because nobody would read it.
Mm.
But they can sort of put the time in and make those things what they are. Whereas we kind of have to play to our audience.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
And it's the same at every level.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't think anybody, no right thinking person wants traditional media to go away.
No. It's just idiots who are trying to build up new sort of empires and new media.
Like Arianna Huffington.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy old witch.
But even sort of new media platforms like Twitter don't want old school media to go away. Old school media is a huge traffic driver for them.
Yep.
Those kind of stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, that's probably enough about page one. But yes, you should certainly get it. It's very good. It's only about an hour and 25 minutes long. But it's very, very good. And I think the bonus features are sort of some of the interviews that are in the main documentary in kind of longer form,
mm-hmm.
Which is quite cool. Because there were, I think, but I tried to do it with my DVD player is rubbish, so I still use a proper DVD player for playing DVDs rather than playing it in a console. And it went a bit funny.
God, you're so old school.
The reason is it's because it's a Region 3 DVD player. That's specific. Plus, it's quiet. If I play it for the PS3 or the 360, I won't be able to hear the fucking thing. yes. But I tried to play it and it crashed the DVD player. But from the look of it, it's kind of like, it says it's interviews with X and Y and all these people. So I think it's sort of panels and stuff that take it from the show just in longer form, which is brilliant. Lewis.
Yes.
Movie competition time.
Okay.
Oh, that's handy. I've just started up this Batman game and I happen to just be at the back door of the courthouse.
Oh, handy.
Off to see Calendar Man.
Mm. Live gaming is the next step.
This is it. Some people stream this shit onto the internet, not us, no. We record it with audio and we'll let you have it 4 days later.
And no visual at all.
Right.
Just take a still image. And
hold on, I'll unmute the TV though so you can hear the sound effects. Can you hear that? That's Batman walking.
Just about. Do you know what I think you need to do? Just grab your iPhone and just take a picture and include it in the post.
Yeah. Walking down some stairs. Oh, floor's a bit wet here.
Calendar Man is probably creepy.
Yeah. There he is.
I always feel a little lonesome in November. I think that's because even the worst of us enjoy a good old-fashioned family Thanksgiving. I know I did a few years back when I dropped in unannounced on Turkey Day. All those surprised faces around the table. Mom and Dad could hardly believe it.
It's probably not very good for a podcast, is it?
Dad, they were.
I want to hear what Calendar Man says.
Place to lay low. My family, wherever they were, certainly cook stuffing, gravy, and pumpkin pie to die for. Unfortunately, they did. Like I said, always feel lonesome in November.
I think that's your lot from Calendar Man.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah, pretty creepy. There's a fly as well. That's buzzing around.
Yeah.
Make sure you go at the front door of the courthouse to save it.
It does make me wonder, though. It's been like nearly 2 months. You know, since Arkham City came out and Batman's still in there, hasn't gone home, hasn't gone for a shower, still wandering around.
Yep.
Mm.
Oh, so the next one's Christmas Day.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, it is. There's a calendar next to Calendar Man. Obviously, because that wouldn't taunt the poor little bastard.
But he normally says, doesn't he, at the end of the speech, he says, oh... And then it'll give you a clue as to when you've got
to go. Oh, no, he didn't this time. But the calendar's marked. Christmas Day is marked.
Yeah. That is the one handy thing, is it's got the actual calendar. So you don't just have to try every holiday.
New Year's Day. February, that would be Valentine's Day. March would probably be Easter, would it? April the 1st then? May?
Yeah.
What's in the second week of May?
Oh, it...
May Day.
No, it would be some American holiday.
Yeah, no.
May the 8th, looks like.
Don't know.
Independence May.
Oh, dear.
See what I did there.
Yeah, there's one every month. Anyway, that's quite cool.
Yes.
Okay, and that links nicely into last week's piece of music that I played you, which was... And that is, of course, the theme from the original Batman film, the 1989 one, Tim Burton one.
Yes.
And either people are just really not bothering to enter nowadays, or no one knew it, but we only had two.
Sickening.
Oh, dear.
So could someone pick a number between one and two, please?
Five?
Don't get smart.
One.
It's not becoming. One, that is Kevling.
Kevling.
Kevling. Congratulations, Kevling. He did indeed correctly guess that it was Batman. Mm-hmm. The other correct entry was Fazlax, who also correctly guessed Batman.
But doesn't exist.
No.
It's an issue.
Proven by the fact that he didn't get picked.
Mm. Obviously.
I think May 8th might be Mother's Day in America. It fell on the 8th this year, but next year it falls on the 13th. So.
It's this year's calendar that's displayed, isn't it? Because we're in this.
That's true.
At the end of the year.
So maybe it'll switch at the end of the year. Who knows?
Clever.
Who knows?
Who knows? Mm. Okay, and can someone pick a number between 1 and 3, please, for the DVD.
2.
2, that is Under Suspicion, starring Gene Hackman and Morgan Freeman. It's a very good thriller, I think.
There we go.
So there you go.
Probably not one that Kevling's kids can watch.
No. Mind you, it's only 15. You know, teach them young. Desensitize them, that's what I say.
Yep.
That
or video games.
Yes. And apparently, watching films won't get you as much anger in the press.
Bonus.
Excellent.
And this week's piece of music is this.
C minor, put it in C minor. Where have all the good men gone? Where are all the gods? Streetwise Hercules to fight the rising
war. There you go. And that is a specific film because it's a specific version of that song.
I need a hero.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes, so if you think you know the film to which that belongs, you need to send your name, full address, and answer to lewisgaston@screendemon.com.
Excellent.
I know.
The most exciting bit. Listen to the power chords. Anyway.
One of my wife's favourite films.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
There you go. Which some might say explains why she married me. Cheeky cunts.
Judging from the picture you've got on Skype.
My hair's not growing back very quickly.
No, you thought it was going to grow.
Hair's overrated.
Because you're going bald, old man.
Cheeky bastard.
It's what happens when you go bald. It doesn't fall out, it just stops growing. I'm getting my hair cut on Saturday. That's not really that interesting. I don't know why I said that.
Get it cut like mine.
No, I look about 12 when I do that.
Well, not actually like mine, because if you got it cut like mine, it would be kind of a little bit too long and fuzzy at the minute.
I don't
cut like I got mine cut a week ago.
I don't look like a thug like you do from the East End of London. I look like I...
Everyone looks a little bit more thuggish when they've got skin.
No, I look 12.
Yeah, but like a 12-year-old thug?
No, just 12. Like a 12-year-old fat kid.
Oh,
it's not very nice, is it?
And to be honest, I was a 12-year-old fat kid, so I should know. Anyway, Lewis, have you done the how to enter bit? Have you told him where to email?
Yeah, you're just not listening at all today.
Oh, no, Skype keeps getting a bit weird.
You've just given up.
Yeah, really. Fuck it. Who cares?
You do sound very downbeat and tired today, Chris.
Oh, I don't know. Lewis, you have watched a film called Chris. Dale and Tucker vs. Evil. This sounds quite cool because I like the title, but I know nothing about the film.
It's brilliant. It's technically, I would suppose you'd call it a comedy horror, although there's no real... It's not horror in the sense at all. It's more like a spoof on horror films. And Dale and Tucker are a pair of redneck hillbilly friends that live out in the Appalachian Mountains, or whatever they're called.
Appalachian
Mountains. And it starts off, you sort of follow this group of college kids who are going out there for a vacation, and they see Dale and Tucker, and at this point you don't know who Dale and Tucker are. You just see them as weirdo hillbillies. So it starts telling it from their side of the story, and it's going through the usual sort of setup to those types of horror films. So, for example, Dale, I think it is, sort of approaches one of the college girls and starts laughing really strangely, and they just think he's a weirdo and run off scared. And then it cuts back to Dale and Tucker, and it just turns out that he's really nervous and he can't talk to girls. So Tucker just told him to smile and laugh. So he looked like a weirdo. And then it basically follows them from there. They've bought Tucker's bought a vacation home out there, and they're going to go up there to do it up and renovate it. And then from then on in, it's just one big misunderstanding to another. So they stumble across this group of college kids again when they're all skinny dipping, and one girl falls off the cliffs and knocks herself unconscious, so they dive in and save her. But the kids only see them pulling her out of the water and into the boat, so they think that they've killed her. So they run off. So then basically they take this girl back to their vacation home and look after her, sort of patch her up and give her food. And then all hell breaks loose because these kids think they're on a murderous rampage. And loads of accidents start happening and all the college kids start dying. And Dale and Tucker think that it's massive Suicide Squad. They think they've got like a bunch of students on a suicide pact. And it's hilarious because it's told from, like I said, it's told from the hillbilly's point of view, and it's just one big misunderstanding. There are some really funny scenes in it as well. Like one of the death scenes involves a wood chipper machine. And it's just silly things. Like there's one bit where one of the sort of is cutting up wood with a chainsaw and goes through a tree with a bee's nest in it. So he's now running around the woods with his chainsaw still on, but trying to escape the bees. But the kids see him running around with a chainsaw. They don't see the bees part of it and just think he's a maniac chasing him with a chainsaw. So yeah, it's really funny, really clever, really cleverly done. And it's just brilliant the way they've taken all those, you know, hillbillies are weird horror films and just made it one great big misunderstanding. It's brilliantly done. And Tucker, I can't remember Dale, I recognise, but the bloke who plays Tucker is the bloke from Serenity who also plays Steve the Pirate.
Yeah.
In Dodgeball. Steve the Pirate in Dodgeball. And he's the pilot in Serenity and Firefly.
Oh, well, fuck, I know who you mean. What's his
no
name?
No idea.
Oh, I know exactly who you mean. Oh, I'll have to look it up now because it's going to irritate me.
Oh, you're not going to fact check, are you?
I do know exactly who you mean, though. Oh, who is
it? Anyone who's seen Dodgeball will know Steve the Pirate.
Come on, internet. Help me out here.
Oh, yeah. It's called Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk. Yeah.
There you go.
The name means nothing to me.
He was in 310.
He's Wash. He's Wash in Firefly.
Wash, that's the one.
Nobody's watched Firefly or Serenity.
Everyone has watched it apart from you.
Because they're shit.
No, because you're a bad person.
Get out. Get out. So yeah, Dale and Tucker vs. Evil was brilliant. Definitely worth a rent, buy, watch, whatever you want to do. However you want to do it. It's really funny. It's a bit gore. There is quite a bit of gore in it. But like I say, it's not horror in the true sense of the word. It's not scary and it's not meant to be scary. It's obviously just playing on that genre. So there has to be gore in it. But it's mainly just full of people running around the woods getting impaled because they tripped over something.
A series of unfortunate accidents.
That's pretty much what it is, and it's brilliant.
That does sound pretty cool, actually.
It does.
That sounds cool.
Was it directed by Joss Whedon?
Don't know. Probably not, no.
I imagine those actors just all work together and write.
A bit lowbrow for Joss Whedon.
Was it?
Joss Whedon, whilst filming the Avengers film, has filmed... Did I talk about this last week? Maybe.
Don't think so.
No. While filming the Avengers film, I can't remember which Shakespeare play it is, but he's filmed an interpretation of a Shakespeare play, like, on the weekends that he wasn't filming the Avengers. He got together, like, all the actors he normally works with, and has filmed an interpretation of a Shakespeare play.
So it's got Nathan Fillion and Summer Glau in it.
yeah, and basically...
Everyone except Sarah Michelle Gellar, because I don't think they landed on very good terms.
No.
She was Buffy, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's Buffy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely got Nathan Fillion. Nathan Fillion is the main character, but I can't remember which one it is. It might be Taming of the Shrew, but I'm not positive.
Ooh, interesting.
Let me see. I'll go look it up now.
Nathan Fillion was also in Buffy, wasn't he? He was... what's his face? Caleb, the priest in the 7th series.
Oh, was he? Yes, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Much Ado.
Peter doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, Much Ado About Nothing. That was it.
Oh, Much Ado About Nothing is a good film. Or a good play, even.
Yeah.
It was a good film, too. Branagh made it into a good film.
Yeah, apparently he filmed that, like, at the same time as filming the Avengers stuff. Somehow.
That either means he's an extremely busy man, or the Avengers are just going to be shit.
I think he's just a very busy man. He's very hardworking.
Yeah.
Because the other thing as well is he's also got one or two comic book series ongoing at the same time as well.
Yeah, but to be fair, everything he does is a little bit shit, so he can probably rattle it out really quickly.
You shut your dirty horse mouth.
You're not going to be saying that after you've seen the Avengers film.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I watched Hush. Go and watch Buffy. If you only watch one episode of Buffy, go and watch one called Hush. And then come back and say it's shit.
I don't know. My nephew really liked Buffy, but he was like 6 at the time.
I kind of liked Angel more than Buffy.
There were 7 series. Was he 6 for all 7 of them?
Yeah. Time traveller.
Why was a 6-year-old? Buffy is a little bit violent for a 6-year-old.
That would explain
not the first series. The first series is a bit gay.
No, but after that.
Does Buffy... No, it doesn't. Buffy's made for kids. It's like Doctor Who. Doctor Who's not scary either.
No, Buffy wasn't made for kids.
Of course it was. It was on at like 5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
It was made for kids when it first... Or not kids, but made for teenagers when it first started.
The later series
and then
really
it got
fucked
more and
up.
More mature. Yeah, it got... There's loads of lezzers in the 7th series.
Oh, fair enough then.
There's an awful lot of sex in Buffy.
Sorry, Chris, can you stop talking? You're distracting me. I'm ordering box sets of Buffy now. What season was that you were talking about? The 7th?
6 and 7, you want. 6 is when the lesbian really started going. You know, with Alison Hannigan.
Yeah.
Is that the girl that was in American Pie?
Yes.
And then How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
She's in How I Met Your Mother, yeah.
Okay, I'm in.
Who is married to, what's his face? Also from Buffy and Angel.
Because basically, once you work on a Joss Whedon product, you cannot go outside of that circle for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's like the fucking mafia. Blood in, blood out.
Yeah.
Who is she married to?
I can't remember the bloke's name. He plays Wesley. Plays Wesley, an angel.
No idea.
Oh, yeah, she is, isn't she?
Yeah, and they've got a little baby. So that baby's now calling Joss granddad.
She's married to... Alexis Denisov. Alexis Denisov.
Little bit of fact checking.
Who was weirdly, for some, like, got cast in the role of, like, fairly major role of Wesley in Buffy, but actually started out as, like, stunt coordinator or something on it. I think he started out as a stuntman. Yeah, he started out as like a fight director and stuff.
He doesn't look like the type of person that could fight.
No, it's true.
While we're talking about Buffy and Angel, can I just once again mention that if they make an Uncharted movie and don't cast David Boreanaz as Drake, then they're just doing it all wrong.
Nathan Fillion
is about 15 years too old to be Drake.
Yeah, he's way too old
to
be Drake.
Not for Uncharted 3.
But also, David Boreanaz probably is now as well.
Yeah, but yeah. David Boreanaz could probably get away with it and just looks like and acts like Drake.
Also,
I thought he was a little bit eternally
young as well. Which is kind of creepy because he played a vampire.
I thought of someone outside of the box and I thought, oh, that's genius. And then I've completely forgotten who it is.
I'm not sure he's actually aged since he was on Buffy, thinking about it. He looks exactly the same on Bones.
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure he ages.
I don't know because I don't watch Buffy.
Convinced he's eternal now.
Is Buffy still going?
No, it ended years ago. It's a comic book now. It's on like season 9 in comic book form. Or season 10.
Oh, he has aged. I've just searched the internet for images of David Boreanaz.
Oh, okay. Is he?
As you do.
Every day.
Yep. Yeah, he has aged drastically since his days as Angel.
Well, fair enough.
But still, he looks like Drake.
Look, if it's Drake, it's just going to be, what's his name? Jason Gyllenhaal, whatever his name is. Jake Gyllenhaal, is that his name? Gyllenhaal?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, is that a person?
Yeah.
That's who I thought.
It'll be him, because he's fucking everything now.
That is who I thought of, genuinely.
He was the Prince of Persia, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was watching Source.
Yeah, he's Prince of Persia. He was Prince of Persia with an English accent for some reason.
He looks a bit like Drake, and I reckon he could do it justice.
As long as they don't go for some Muppet like Hayden Christensen.
Oh, fuck no.
They need to make a version of Prince of Persia that's actually in Persian. I want to get the Persian language. What's Persian language? What's
Farsi.
Persian. Oh, yeah, I want to get the Farsi version of Prince of Persia and see how it sounds.
And then put on English subtitles?
Yeah, it'd be amazing. Well, no, because it's like, apparently the best way to play Assassin's Creed Brotherhood is to play it in Italian with English subtitles. Because you can set different subtitle and spoken word languages.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of like listening to it in English.
No.
So I could understand.
Yeah,
it.
And surely the mouths won't be synced.
Well, no, they sync the mouths up. That's pretty easy to do with modern technology. But the best thing
with all the different languages?
Yeah. But for like Assassin's Creed, that's pretty simple. It's a game. You just change when the mouth moves.
Yeah, and the facial animations aren't great.
But apparently the best thing about it is if you play it in Italian with English subtitles, it translates, because it translates everything, it translates the insults as well. Italian insults are amazing.
Yeah, Italian swearing is proper old school.
Yeah.
Like cursing your mother and stuff.
Yeah.
But really imagine.
My stepmom taught Spanish kids English for a little bit, and she had to learn Spanish swearing to know when they were abusing her. And Spanish swearing is like, may the god of your mother shit in your head.
Nice. A bit of dramatic flair in there.
Yep.
The only Spanish, it depends which country you're in, but coño, the only one I know.
What's that mean?
That means cunt.
Fair enough.
Which in Italian would be soccer.
Anyway.
But it's a bit awkward because in some Spanish-speaking countries, coño means an absolutely innocent thing.
Yeah. Anyway, enough multiple languageness.
No, I have now found a website that teaches me how to swear in Italian. There will never be enough multilingual swearing.
Excellent. Putting that aside for the moment, Peter, you've been playing Professor Layton.
Licami il culo.
What's that mean?
Apparently that means lick my ass.
Not really. I'd rather hear about Professor Layton, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Tua mama Bocinara.
Your mother looks like Andrea Bocelli.
Peter, if you don't... Close. Peter, if you don't hurry up, we won't have time to talk about Sons of Anarchy.
Oh. Fascist. What do you want me to talk about now?
Professor Layton.
All right. Professor Layton is a game with puzzles and a guy with a stovepipe hat. It's got puzzles in, and it's not as good as Sons of Anarchy.
All right. Anything else?
Next!
Anything else about Professor Layton?
Yeah, they cut out the RPG thing, which apparently wasn't very RPG. It was kind of light, but it was still something new in the game, which is really what this game needs.
Okay.
Because now it's like the fourth or fifth Layton in the series. Yeah. Fourth, I think, in the series. And it's exactly the same game as the previous three.
It's that's depressing.
Navigating around a town, interspersed with conversations which are a little bit cheesy and far too long and repetitive. And then really, really good puzzles. But the really good puzzles are kind of too similar to the puzzles that were in the last game and the game before. You know, it's kind of, because there's only so much you can do. There are only so many types of puzzle. So they're kind of a little bit too similar. So the game's very, very similar to the previous ones. So it's kind of calling out for there to be something more, something new and something different in it. But they cut that out of the European release. So if you want to play the new Professor Layton game, import it from America and play the full one.
Excellent.
And fuck Nintendo.
Yeah, fair enough.
Petso de Murder.
Talking of RPGs, I kind of want to play the Sonic RPG that BioWare made. I heard that was alright, and it's really cheap now. It's on DS, and it was like £9 now on somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I just kind of want to play that. If you know anything about that, it's Sonic Chronicles The Dark Brotherhood. If you know anything about that, tell me about it. If it's rubbish, tell me. But there are people who've played it and said it was the only RPG they've ever liked. I don't really like RPGs, so maybe I'd like this one. And I do like Sonic.
You do like Sonic.
So
I've heard conflicting things about it.
And BioWare made it, and apparently they make all right RPGs, so that's what I heard.
Yeah, BioWare do make good RPGs.
Well, I just heard they're all right.
However, Sonic RPG fills me with dread.
So I'll be fine with a Sonic RPG as long as I don't have to level up his running. if you make me
plus 10 sprint.
If you make me level up his running, I will throw that thing out the fucking window, along with the DS I don't use. It'll just all be gone in a fit of rage. There's on the Sonic site, yeah. The Sonic have launched a like store where you can buy. Sega have launched a Sonic site where you can buy Sonic stuff. And I was looking at the DVDs, and they have like all the cartoons. So I was like, no, I can't buy just all the series of Sonic.
Oh no, because it was dreadful.
Yeah, well, the Sonic Underground was awful because that was the one where they played guitars for some reason. But there was one that was alright. There's three Sonic franchise things. There's a really shitty Saturday morning cartoon one.
No, none of it was good, Chris.
No,
stop it.
And there was Sonic Underground, which was shitty because they played guitars for no apparent reason, and that gave them magic powers or something. But then there's the middle one. The middle one is alright.
Chris, you're making me sad on the inside. My heart hurts.
I mean, certainly it's no raccoons, but...
It was all shit!
Oh, the raccoons was fucking amazing.
And they had the worst voices ever.
Anything.
No, the raccoons was. Sonic had the worst voice.
Yeah, anything in which Sonic spoke is shit.
That's true.
Full stop. No arguments.
Yeah, Sonic's kind of a dick, to be fair, when he speaks. Comic books next.
Comic books?
I'm going to drag this out so Peter can't talk about Sons of Anarchy. Have you actually read what it says in the running order about Sons of Anarchy, Peter?
Yes.
Anyway. Spaceman, and also comic books in general. I finally got around to reading this new book. I think it's from Vertigo, called Spaceman, and the first issue was only $1, so that made me happy.
I'd buy that for $1.
It's really, really good. It's really weird. What should I buy that from $1 from? I found out this turn of
RoboCop.
Okay, I found out that. I've never watched RoboCop. So, I've watched
You've never watched RoboCop?
No, I think I've watched bits of RoboCop, but I haven't watched it all the way through.
Oh, dear. Ed 209 has not aged well.
It's no Jurassic Park.
It looks like someone stuck a bit of cardboard onto the screen.
What?
To do a bit of stop
weirdly, motion. The first Jurassic Park film has aged better than the second and third, which yes. doesn't make any sense. Yeah, so Spaceman is kind of... it's super weird, where it's set in the future, and it's cool because they've not just gone, it's the future now, but they've kind of like they've reinvented language, so all the slang's changed. But they haven't just invented new slang words. They've changed the way people speak. So sort of the grammatical structure of English has changed very slightly, which works really well. In the same way that sort of like if you read like Shakespeare, the grammatical structure of Shakespeare is different to English now. You know?
Yes,
that
makes sense.
Partly because it's written in iambic pentameter, but aside from that, it was also just different.
Only some of it was iambic pentameter.
Yeah, okay, it wasn't all iambic pentameter. I will give you that. But
what the fuck is iambic pentameter?
It's where you write it in beats of five.
Oh, of course.
Did you not do English at school?
Didn't do iambic lover.
Iambic pentameter.
Yeah. But so they because quite often when you read stuff in the future, they change the slang, but the way people speak is exactly the same, which isn't actually obvious without like this for context. That's the only thing I've read where they've changed it, and it's like it makes it really obvious in everything else, kind of that. They're not really changing it in the same kind of similar to how Trainspotting feels like a much more Scottish book because it's written in Scottish dialect. And it makes it quite hard to read though. So in the same way, again, Trainspotting is hard to read. Actually, Trainspotting takes me longer to read than just about any other book because I have to really pay attention when I'm reading it because you're not just reading it and it's automatic. You actually have to parse it as you read it. And Spaceman's very similar, but it's set in the future and it's about these weird, I don't know if it's one or two, or there's a group of them or something. I'm not quite clear so far because there's only one issue. But about these dudes who are bred to go to Mars. Because obviously the conditions of Mars are harsher. So you were sort of genetically engineered so that they weren't risking normal humans but also so that they could specifically make ones who sort of make it through the harsher conditions. And
so far none of these characters sort of seems to be riding a motorcycle.
It's Spaceman,
therefore not as good as Sons of Anarchy.
One of them has a boat.
Not good enough.
And but it feels brilliant because in the same way that sort of amazing films like Blade Runner do, where you really feel they've built this world, and that's what really makes it work. It's very difficult to explain because it's very weird. The really odd bit is it starts in a flashback, but you're not sure if the flashback... The problem is, which makes it really interesting, is it keeps flashing back to Mars. But when it's not in flashbacks, it's implied they never actually made it to the Mars mission never launched, which makes it very confusing. And you're not sure is Mars real and the rest of the world that you see is hallucinations, or is the stuff he sees on Mars hallucinations that he was kind of because he's brought up to believe he's going to go to Mars, or but it's weird, basically, but really, really cool.
Is it flashbacks or flash forwards?
That's also not clear. None of it's clear.
Interesting.
But it's that kind of mystery. And the thing is, it's not certainly not equally divided, but the flashbacks are frequent enough and long enough that you're sort of not sure which is which.
It's like the zebra conundrum.
Yes.
Is a zebra a black horse with white stripes or a white horse with
exactly.
black stripes? Who knows?
Or to be more philosophical, are you a man dreaming of being a butterfly or a butterfly dreaming of being a man?
I've never dreamt of being a butterfly.
Oh.
So I must be a butterfly dreaming of being a man.
Shit.
Oh,
well, fuck it then. Might as well end the podcast.
Philosophy has done it again.
Might as well end the podcast at this point, really, then. You're just a fucking butterfly. Yes, but I'm not sure I can really recommend Spaceman, but I really enjoyed it.
So you're saying it's really interesting and you're really enjoying it, but you wouldn't recommend it to anyone?
Well, in the way that I'm not sure if it's the kind of thing that has like really broad appeal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I really like it, but it's one of those kind of things where I'd say get the first issue because it's so cheap. And I think probably that's one of the reasons they've made this so cheap is because it's really weird. And if you like it, then you should probably carry on getting it. And if you don't like it, I don't think you're going to like it, like, in the second issue. I don't think that it's one of those things that's going to change or improve. But there's just... what I really enjoy is there's so much layering and so much to work out what's going on in it. And it's one of the very few comic books where I really have to focus to understand what's going on, where we have to pay attention. The stuff, like, I like Marvel, I like DC, but those kind of books are enjoyable. And I wouldn't say this is necessarily a direct comparison, but they are in some ways similar to kind of like a Michael Bay movie, in that you can kind of figure out what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still good and they're still fantastic books, but you don't always really need to focus on them to kind of get what's going on. And that's nice. Like, sometimes it's nice to put your brain in neutral for a bit, but it's nice to have the contrast, and Spaceman certainly provides that. Anyway, Lewis, you wanted to talk about this last week, and we ran out of time. So, Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids, yes. I watched Bridesmaids, and I wasn't too sure about it, because I'd heard loads of good things about it. And I heard loads of blokes say it's actually really good, but I still couldn't help the fact, you know, the poster and the DVD cover and all that's all bright pink and it's called Bridesmaids. But I finally got around to watching it and I cried with laughter. It was absolutely hilarious. You know the laughing fits I have? I ended up in one of those in one particular scene. It's absolutely hilarious. It's got really good cast, and people always say it's the male version of The Hangover, and in truth, I found it a lot funnier than The Hangover. And I don't know if that's because it was from the female point of view, and, you know, you don't expect it to be as sort of boisterous, if that's the right word. Mm. But it's absolutely hilarious. And like I say, one scene in particular where they actually go to a shop to view the bride or decide the bridesmaid dresses ends in absolute hilarity. Because of some dodgy food they've eaten. And I was just absolutely crying with laughter. It's a brilliant film. And I really do, if anyone, excuse me, if anyone like me is a bit cautious about, you know, whether it being a bit too chick flicky, it's not, it's absolutely hilarious. And it's got, George O'Dowd from, is it George? No, not George, Chris O'Dowd from the IT Crowd in it. He plays, the woman's main sort of love interest, and he's really good in it as well. And yeah, it's just literally an hour and a half of sort of irreverent jokes.
And it's not girly.
It gets a little bit girly towards the end. You know, there's a bit about sort of friendships and stuff, but it's not to the point where it's like, ooh, it's a lot of it you still sort of still relate to. It's just done from a different angle, but I'd say 95% of it is just outright.
My wife's been trying to get me to watch this film since it was on in the cinema, and I have been resisting it.
Yeah, see, I was the same, but no, seriously, watch it. It is such a laugh. And there's stupid things. Like I say, the scene where they go to try and bridesmaid dress, they've just eaten loads of dodgy food, so I won't say too much, but as you can imagine, there's lots of diarrhea jokes and puke jokes. But because of the setting and the seriousness of the occasion, turns out to be, like I say, a moment that creased me up. And just stupid things like Chris O'Dowd plays like a policeman who's got a real OCD complex about people with missing tail lights and the wrong behaviour behind the wheel. So one of the women, to try and sort of gain his attention, basically just ends up doing stunt driving around his car in the middle of a motorway, trying to get his attention. And he's just like, she's driving backwards, drives past with her seat down, so it looks like no one's driving, and doing loads of little things like this. Really short, sharp shots, but they were really funny. And then he just gives up, and he's like, oh, you're joking me. This is like 10 violations. I have to go. but yeah, no, give it a watch. It is brilliant. It's really funny. It's produced by Apatow, however you say his name, who does all the, I think his first major one was Anchorman, and then obviously became massively popular, so he ended up doing things like Knocked Up and Bridesmaids, I think, is a lot better than all that, because they became too formulaic, too predictable. Whereas Bridesmaids, like I said, I don't know if it's because it's from the female perspective, it feels quite fresh and new. So yeah, definitely give it a watch. Really funny.
Okay, if you say so.
I do say so.
And if it turns out to be a shit rom-com, I will...
It's not a shit rom-com.
I will never take your advice again.
There are romantic elements to it, because it's obviously someone getting married. But even they're dumbed down and made funny. The biggest sort of plot line between it is the fact that the woman getting married and the maid of honour, their sort of friendship starts to crack, because the bride makes friends with another woman, and then the maid of honour and this other woman start competing for like the best friend status. And that gets really embarrassing and quite hilarious as well.
Okay. I will go back to my wife and tell her it's okay, we can watch that.
Do it.
Cool.
I basically take all my movie advice from Lewis.
So Mrs. C won't agree to see something unless Lewis has signed off?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Tell her that I've said Paranormal Activity is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And despite its name, it's nothing to do with Paranormal Activity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovely film about kittens and bunnies.
I like kittens. Anyway, moving on.
I don't
on.
Like kittens.
Moving on.
Anya doesn't like bunnies.
Next on my list, it says Sons of... I'm sorry, we're out of time. We'll have to move on to the quiz.
Ha 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 ha.
I suppose you can talk about Sons of Anarchy for a bit, Peter, if you really want.
Do you even know what Sons of Anarchy is?
It's an American TV show about a biker gang. One of my friends thinks the lead actor is rather hot.
The lead actor is Charlie Hunnam, I think, or Hunman, who was the first time I ever saw him, he was in Biker Grove. And now there he is, being a proper actor in America and everything.
Done well.
Yeah, he has done well. Mm. Yeah, it is. He's the lead protagonist. He plays a guy called Jax, who is the vice president of a motorcycle club in Northern California.
Biker Grove.
Oh, Biker Grove.
Sorry. I had to get that one.
Yeah, so, and this motorcycle gang it's kind of loosely based on the Hells Angels, obviously, because you couldn't make a TV series about a motorcycle gang that doesn't have elements of that in it. But they were founded in this town called Charming in Northern California. And they basically run the town. They've got the local policeman in their pocket, and they keep the drugs out and prostitution out of the town and stuff. But they are also absolutely and completely up to no good all the time.
They are a bike gang. Sure, you would expect that.
Yeah, but bike gangs are basically like the Cubs, just with better hardware. You kind of get into this weird situation where you're always rooting for them. You're always thinking, God, I really hope that he gets out of this. And sometimes against the police. So you're kind of rooting for this biker gang, but they're kind of mass murderers as well. So it's really weird because they do all this, like, really quite seriously bad shit, but they are the heroes and they kind of usually do it for the right reasons. The first season I've watched actually all three seasons that are out on DVD box sets, and I watched them all in the space of about 2 weeks. The first season, for the first half of it, I wasn't particularly impressed. It was kind of a little bit dry and a little bit, it made a big deal and sort of glorified the motorcycle club aspect of it, which I'm not taken in by that at all. I think, yeah, well done, son. You can ride a bike. Congratulations. I've got a car and I don't get wet when it rains. So it kind of went past me a little bit with that stuff. But then towards the end of the first season, it gets really good. And then it continues getting better and better as it goes on. And the end of season three is amazing. They also come to Belfast at a certain point. And there's a lot of, because they basically, what keeps the club afloat is that they're gun runners. And they sell arms to various different gangs around California. And they get their guns from in the show they call them the true IRA for like half a season. And then they just give up and go, fair enough, and call them the real IRA, who are an actual terrorist group. So they run guns, basically. They buy off the Irish and sell to like the Hispanic gangs and the black gangs and the white supremacists as well, feature quite highly.
It's nice to know that they're not biased.
Oh no, absolutely. They're absolutely not. But they do have kind of a code of honor as well about them. And that's what a lot of the subplots are based around. The lead character, Jax, who his dad was one of the original founding members. And his dad wrote this book about what he wanted the motorcycle club to be and why the club had sort of moved away from what it was originally supposed to be. And then he's trying to get it back to that, and he wants them to stop running guns and stop all the illegal stuff and just go back to being like a proper club that was for the good of the community and all this sort of shit. But they obviously never get round to that, because if they got round to that, they'd have to finish the series and that would be quite shit. But yeah, it's really good. People should, if you can get it, you should get the box sets and just sort of rattle through them. There's like, I think maybe 12. It's like a short season. So I think there's maybe like 12 in each season. And they're about 45 minutes or an hour long. And stick with it until the end of the first season, because it keeps getting better and better. And the end of the third season is just brilliant. So there you go. That's Sons of Anarchy.
It was one of those ones that sort of saw advertising. What's that? It looks really good. And then I never got around to watching it.
Yeah, I kind of, because I don't really watch TV on TV, I wait until series are over and then I rent box sets. You can rent box sets from the video shop up near me for like, I think it's £7 for the week or something.
Right.
So I do that and then just like gorge on them and watch the whole thing in a week. But yeah, it's definitely, like I say, the first half of the first season was a little bit slow, but then it really picks up. It gets really good.
Cool, yeah.
And also some quite interesting facial hair going on.
I think I like Lemmy's.
There's some serious moustaches on show, and there's one guy that has a quite significant beard, who's also about 8 feet tall. He's massive. I've never seen him in anything else, but I don't imagine he could actually be in anything else. Just because he's too big.
Apart from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, pretty much. He couldn't be. He just looks like a biker no matter what you did with him. And I don't imagine that's a fake beard he wears.
Nice.
So yeah, and then there's also, there's like a whole bits where there's like law enforcement and the ATF get involved, and there's all that sort of stuff runs through it as well. So there's quite a lot of, it's kind of a bit, little bit action-y as well. Quite a lot of shooting and hijinks going on.
Do you like hijinks?
Yeah, but basically it's worth watching. There's three seasons of it, and they're all like an hour long each, so there's maybe like 35 hours of television. It's worth watching it all for the last 15 minutes of season 3.
Cool. Ah.
Bloody awesome. And it's written by, or created by, the guy that made S.H.I.E.L.D. Anybody watched that?
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, with the bald bloke.
Yes. He was also in Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four, yeah. He was Ben Richards.
Yeah. It's written by the guy that did that, and it's got the woman from... Oh, fuck. What was that TV show called? With Al Bundy in it. That's
Al Bundy?
Yeah. That was, like, they were a married couple, and she was called Peggy, and he really didn't seem to like her very much. And they had two kids. Christina Applegate was the daughter.
Oh, I think I know what you mean.
Oh, I really can't remember what that was called, but the woman is in that. I think she also did one of the voices in Futurama. Katie Sagal, you call her.
Not the woman from... what's its face? What, the woman that plays Leela?
In Futurama?
Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Married with Children, TV show was called. About 20 years ago, obviously.
And she was also in another sitcom called Eight Simple Rules.
I don't know that one.
That was not great.
What?
Eight Simple Rules was not amazing.
It was alright. Yeah. And then the bloke died.
Yeah, and then they kind of went, let's carry on. And went, oh, this is not so good.
Yeah, it's not working.
Yeah.
And Ron Perlman is in Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
Who is Hellboy, in the trailer. I think, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Although Hellboy still looks like Ted Danson to me.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of does. So yeah, go and see Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
If you can get a hold of it.
I may just do that.
I think they are currently screening season 4 on US television. I think.
Cool. Excellent.
Are you drinking, Christian?
I was just drinking a little bit of Coke because my throat hurts. Mr. Lewis.
Yeah.
I believe it's probably time for the quiz.
Ew. Okay, I got in a bit late today, so I finished it about 5 seconds before we started recording. And what I've done, just to make it a little bit interesting rather than just a plain old quiz, I have taken the title of a film and taken it literally, if you like, let's say that. And you have to guess what the real title of the film is. So, for example, if I said to you Fear of Spiders, the film would be...
Arachnophobia.
Arachnophobia, correct.
Do I get a point?
No. I know you're behind, Peter, but let's not resort to cheating.
Okay.
So...
Is this 1 to 10, then?
1 to 10, yep.
Okay.
8, 9, 10. Let's go.
Okay. Number one. And these are, I reckon they should have renamed these films, actually. They would have been much more successful. Number one is Mouth Bones.
Okay.
Number two is Mounds of Earth Can See.
Mounds of Earth Can See.
Mounds of Earth Can See. Number three, Not False Dirt.
Okay.
Are you right there, Peter?
Yep.
Number
three
four,
for three so far.
Yeah.
Ooh. Number four, Those Who Have Left.
Oh.
Mm.
Number 5. Land ruled by male monarch belonging to God's home.
Wait, so can you say it again?
Land ruled by male monarch belonging to God's home. Number 6. Murder William.
Oh.
Number 7. Forever solar light of an impeccably tidy brain.
Oh, fuck, I know that. Oh, yeah.
Number 8. Serrated cutting tool. That film would have been so much better if they called it that. Number 9. 49 divided by 7. Number 10. Shout loudly. There you go. How many do you think you got?
What was number 8 again?
Number 8 was serrated cutting tool.
Oh, okay.
I think I've got 9.
Ooh, high scoring. Peter?
I think I might have got 10.
I couldn't figure out number 4 was the only one.
That would be the first one if you do. Okay, number 1, mouth bones.
Jaws. Yeah.
Jaws, yep. Number 2, mounds of earth can see.
The hills
see.
Have eyes.
Yeah.
Yep. Number 3, not false dirt.
True grit.
True grit.
Yep. Number 4, those who have left.
I didn't get this.
Is this The Missing?
No! The Departed.
Ah. Yeah, of course.
Disappointed.
Oh, Peter, I'm disappointed for you. I was hoping for a 10 then. Number 5, land ruled by male monarch belonging to God's
Kingdom
home.
Kingdom of Heaven.
Kingdom of Heaven.
Yep. Number 6, Murder
Kill
William.
Bill. Kill Bill.
Yep. Number 7, forever solar light of an impeccably tidy
Eternal
brain.
Eternal sunshine on the spotless mind.
Yeah.
Yep. Number 8, serrated cutting
saw.
Tool.
Saw.
Yep. Number 9, 49 divided by 7.
7.
7.
Do I get extra points for spelling it with the number 7 like it did on the thing?
No, because that pisses me off. Number 10, shout loudly.
Scream.
Scream.
Yay. 9 apiece. Oh. High scoring. Okay. So.
Very disappointed.
Let's go for a tiebreak one. First person to shout out. Let's go for. Adam Atop Flames.
Man on Fire.
Yes. Oh. Well done. That's 1-1-1. Yes. One.
Ha ha, in your face, Lipscomb.
I don't think I've ever got 9 before.
True. We scored quite well in that one.
Next is emails and questions.
Like it.
It's
question time.
I mean, to be honest, I probably use the actual bit of music, but whatever.
Question time.
Via the emails. You can email us podcast@sickfractions.com. You can also get in touch via Twitter on TSA using the hashtag TSAcast. And if you go over to the SickFractions forums and go into the gaming banter section, the Lone Steven, who is a fucking nutter. Always sets up a nice thread. So, on the emails, Colin Barr says, did anyone see Survivor Series? Did you enjoy CM Punk as much as I did? What did you think of The Rock's return?
I don't think anybody enjoys CM Punk as much as that lad does.
He does like CM Punk quite a lot.
He does.
CM Punk is awesome. I'll give him that. I missed Survivor Series because I could justify £15 for it, and it's got to the point where I record a 3-hour show and watch 25 minutes of it. So I'm not paying £15 for that privilege.
I also didn't see it because I don't have Sky, but I believe there are sites where you can stream it on the internet.
Yes.
Yes, I have one.
There are.
Might have a little look
I
around.
I do want to see Punk's match, and I'm not interested to see The Rock at all. Man needs to fuck off back to
wrestling. Yeah, I haven't seen Survivor Series because I haven't watched wrestling in months, but I do kind of follow vaguely what's going on.
You don't watch it.
Raw, but they tell you everything.
You don't watch it, but you follow the storyline.
Yeah. I go on the internet and they tell me what happened.
Funnily enough, it has got to the point now where I watch wrestling and it's mainly the talky storylines bits that I find most interesting, and then I fast forward the matches.
At that point, you're just watching a soap opera.
Yeah.
As Pete said, I don't think anyone could enjoy CM Punk as much as you do, Colin. I think he's all right. I miss Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy misses.
I think he's back into TNA.
Is he the one that's a nutcase and strung out on drugs?
Yeah. And constantly jumping from like 50-foot tall buildings and stuff.
Yeah. But I think he's back in TNA, but
he was
amazing. Refused to watch TNA because, yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on over there.
Because they got rid of the six.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was the thing that defined TNA.
As for The Rock's return, I just kind of feel it's been handled quite badly.
Is why I thought he wasn't coming back until WrestleMania.
Yeah, but he keeps coming back. It's weird.
He probably found a free day in his schedule and thought, oh,
I think he's got a film out.
Ah.
I'll patronise the millions of people that used to love me.
Also,
he's on the promo trail.
Also, all of his shots look really weird because he's got that massive tattoo in his arm now. But for some reason, anytime you see a photo shoot, like for wrestling, he always leads with that shoulder, so all you see is like the massive tattoo.
That is a smart tattoo.
It's got but it's got even bigger. It's fucking huge now.
Yeah, it's down his chest.
Yeah, it's absolutely fucking massive.
Proper Samoan one. Yeah, it's amazing.
I want a new tattoo.
Marzen.
Do you want one that big though, Peter?
Not really. I couldn't have one that big. I have tattoos on both my shoulders already, so I'd have to get something that goes in with them.
If I had the physique for that, I'd be head to toe tattoos.
And women.
Okay.
Tattoos of women.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Twitter questions. SH number 7 says, who is a bastard because he's getting a tax refund, so I fucking hate him.
Is this your little brother? Yeah. Lipscomb Jr. Yeah.
He's getting a tax refund, fucker.
Carl with a K.
With a C.
Carl, yeah.
No, it's spelt with a K.
Spelt with a C.
It's spelt with a K.
I can't think of any names to call him that isn't actually his real name that would be really annoying.
Chris, you must have the inside story on this.
He says, as it's...
What can we call him?
No.
Spabbage. He doesn't like being called Spabbage.
He was very helpful to me on Twitter this week. He found the Assassin's Creed hoodie that I would really quite like. Yeah, unfortunately, it's sold out.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, as it's coming to the end of the world, or at least the year, what are the games you're most looking forward to next year? I think that's a fantastic
end of the world,
question.
Or at least the year.
Yeah, or at least the year when the world's going to end.
Oh, yeah, because the world's going to end in 2012. Sorry, yeah.
I would point out he doesn't actually believe that. I assume he's just joking. Always played too much Assassin's Creed. One of the two.
I don't understand why you'd believe in it, because if it was true, you wouldn't get the gratification of being able to say, I told you so after.
Yeah, smug face.
What's the point?
Anyway, what games are we most... I'm really looking forward to, weirdly, really looking forward to I Am Alive, even though Ubisoft have come out today and said, yeah, it's a bit shit, so it's digital.
Also, that's coming out this year.
Is it? I thought it was next year.
Journey!
No, Ubisoft have said that it will be out before Christmas.
Jesus. They're really not promoting that at all, are they?
You can buy I Am Alive dynamic themes now. They don't do that.
They swear to fucking get rid of that thing, don't they?
Yeah, I get that impression.
Just get it off the books and move on.
Yeah, out the door.
I'm still really excited for that, though. But I feel like I've been very, really excited for that for a really long time at this point.
It's the launch of the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they kind of announced it years ago, didn't they?
It's been a while.
Disappeared for a while.
Yeah.
I can say officially, because we are currently compiling this very question for the top 100 for next year, I have marked Far Cry 3, Mass Effect 3, and The Last Guardian.
I think
The Last Guardian
are all towards the top of my list.
And I'm not the last one who hasn't finished filling it out, am I? There are other people.
Almost.
Oh, Jesus. it's because I wanted to do it properly and wanted to go and look up all the game. And I fucking did it once. And it broke.
Yeah.
I did it once ages ago.
Okay.
I want Journey.
All right, you want Journey, we know.
I want Journey.
I think I've rated really Journey. Highly Halo 4. And and weirdly, I put 10 for Ghost Recon. And kind of then went, 10 doesn't feel like enough for how excited I am for that game. I kind of wanted to go back and move everything down a notch just so to show how excited I am for the new Ghost Recon game.
Really?
It just looks amazing. It's so good.
The next Sonic game.
And I can't talk about why. I'll tell you later why I'm so excited about that, because I can't talk about why I'm so excited about that. Yeah. Really excited for that. Yes, we know you're excited for Journey. And also Halo 4, because Halo.
Journey.
Moving on. Tough Cub says, is Torchwood a government organization? He picked me up on this last week. Okay, Torchwood 3 is certainly not a government organization. That's the Torchwood based in Cardiff. But it's never made clear where Torchwood 1's affiliations lie. So Torchwood 1 potentially might be government based. But Torchwood 3 definitely works beyond the government.
Was Torchwood not instigated by Queen Victoria?
Yes.
In that case, government organisation.
But no, but it's unclear whether it was founded by her and then set outside the government. And also, there's a difference between the crown and the government.
Not in a monarchy, there's not.
Well, there.
No, well, there is in a functional.
In a constitution monarchy, there's a difference between the government and the crown.
Yeah.
And we live in
Journey.
We live in a constitution. And we live in a constitution monarchy. So
you might
Torchwood Institute was founded by Queen Victoria. So although it might be of the crown, that doesn't necessarily make it part of the government.
Peter lives in a broken home. That is Northern Ireland.
I live in the People's Republic of Peter.
He also said, and did you really not get the Toast Tea Cake reference? I've realised that really irritated me. That's a reference to Red Dwarf.
Yeah, it is.
Which I didn't. I just passed me by completely. And literally all he did was reposted it today. And I went, oh, of course, yeah. It's when the talky toaster's talking to Holly after Holly gets really smart.
Yeah.
Anyway, my brother also posted a video. Which
he did. I watched this video earlier.
I can't remember what it is, but it's really good. I was going to ignore it because I was like, oh, we can't really do a... Oh, yeah, Skyrim headshot like a boss.
I think it's a fake video. It's somebody shoots an arrow up into the air, then goes and sits down and watches the preacher in Skyrim. In, I think, Winterfall? I can't remember what that town's called. Sits down and watches a priest preaching, and then, like, a minute later, the arrow hits him in the head.
Yeah.
But I think it must be faked. You couldn't do that.
Yeah, I think it must be, but still... If it
still pretty cool,
it's pretty
still,
awesome.
It still looks pretty cool, and if he did it, if he actually really managed to do that, then that's quite amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Next, Andrew HD says, "So when can I join the TSA staff?" And does Chris still want my article about the MGS Omnibus graphic novel? I told him to email me. He didn't email me, and this is a really odd thing to ask in relation to the podcast, rather than just asking me.
It's probably just his way of asking you. He probably doesn't really want an answer to that on the podcast.
Yeah, he probably wants an actual answer to that. I told him to email me, but I don't think he emailed me. Because I forget things on Twitter, and if they're an email, I can press the star button and then remember.
Ooh. Get you. Well, your organizational skills.
Because I've got, what I do, because I have the multi-inbox lab for Google, the Gmail, and then I just have an inbox that's filtered to all my starred stuff.
Fancy.
It's pretty handy. He also says, oh yeah, gaming questions. Favorite Pokemon game? Mine is either Gold or Ruby.
I've only ever played a couple of hours of, I think, Black or White. I can't remember which one I got.
One of them.
Yeah. Didn't really like it.
I think probably you kind of have to go classic, like Red or Blue, like old school. Lewis?
What?
You don't have an opinion on Pokemon games, do you?
No.
All right.
They're all shit.
Tough Cup says, and here's a good question. It's a really good question. Should Notch go groveling back to the Spongs on the Minecraft podcast he swore in front of kids because he has? No, I don't think you should. I kind of think that the way they, from the sound of it, this is because obviously this is coming from him, but there are other people who've backed up what was said about, I think it's Yogscast, right. their behaviour at Minecon sounds like it was kind of disgraceful. And
Minecon,
yeah, the convention.
Yeah, they have like a whole convention
for Minecraft.
Yeah,
wasn't this game built by one bloke in a bedroom?
Yeah, it's kind of incredible how much he's taken off. But yeah, I think that the because kind of what they did at Minecon was there was lots of stuff they did. Partly, like one little thing I think was him sort of moaning and. But it's also fair because they're really big in the Minecraft community. But they were the only speakers who came and demanded to be paid for coming. No one else asked to be paid.
Okay.
Which kind of seems a little bit uncool. But again, you don't know the context of that, which might be like, I don't know where Minecon was, so it might have been they asked to have their expenses paid to get there. Or they were specifically said no, you're going to have to pay us like X amount for us to come.
And did they swear in front of kids?
Yeah, they swore in front of kids, which is really uncool.
Mm. Who?
Yogscast, these community people. And they also are, also some little kid went up to them and asked them to sign his like thing that Notch, who is obviously the guy who made Minecraft, he'd signed it. And they crossed out Notch's name and wrote, fuck you, and then signed it. Which is kind of dickish, dickish. And that's the kind of thing that if that was like an adult might be kind of funny, but to get to a kid kind of like, I just imagine this kid like with his, looking like his heart been broken.
No, to do that to anybody, if that's true, I don't know anything about this, so I don't know, it's maybe not right that I should really comment on it too much, but if that's true, to do that to anybody makes you a complete awesome.
Yeah, but I think specifically to do that to a kid is just...
Yeah, pretty much. If you're going to be that much of a dick. If you're going to belittle something that somebody else values to try and make yourself look edgy or cool or in some way valuable, then fuck you.
Yeah. And they also seem to be very up their own arses, Yogscast, about stuff. But again...
They sound like proper bellends.
Yeah. But again, this is... They've said stuff, Notch has said this, and has been backed up by other people who were there. Whereas the people who are backing Yogscast in this seem to be going, oh no, don't you get it, Yogscast are so cool. So it kind of sounds like they were dicks, and people were just going, oh, they weren't dicks because it's funny.
And has Notch now gone grovelling back to them?
Yes, he said. But I think, well, what he said specifically... is sorry for being a dick, Yogscast, which I would imagine is quite possibly apologising for venting about it so publicly on Twitter about something that perhaps should have been dealt with privately.
Yeah, that's fair enough. If you can see your own...
Yeah.
The part that you played in creating an issue and then apologise for that, that's fair enough.
Yeah, see, I don't think he's necessarily gone grovelling back because I think his tweet specifically says... Sorry for being a dick about it. Which I don't think he was necessarily a dick, but I think that's fair enough because it's Twitter has kind of become this automatic thing you go to vent. And yeah. to realize that perhaps that was not the best situation in which just to vent automatically on Twitter is a perfectly reasonable thing to apologize for. Because yeah. that could have been dealt with by just sort of talking to them, you know, like privately.
Yep.
And going, come on, guys, don't be such a bell end.
Or listening to him vent on Twitter for like half a day and then recording a podcast belittling all his venting. I love you, Tough Cub.
Yeah. DJH Second Nature.
Tough Cub did what?
Don't worry. DJH Second Nature says, how long until someone pays to silence Hal Pro and his ridiculous Uncharted 3 comments?
Oh, well, don't start that all up again, Davs. We've only just got over that.
I think both of you kind of backed me up on my Uncharted 3 comments, so...
No, it was all you, Chris.
this cheers. Is it,
the backlash now. We're going to just send you down the river. yeah, no, I think that it's... I think Chris has made some perfectly valid points about Uncharted.
Yeah. It's just how I feel. Like I said, I don't hate that game, but I feel that the criticisms I made weren't nitpicky and were perfectly valid, and criticisms that I am surprised they have not seen more of.
Yeah,
realistically,
that's just because it's Uncharted.
But everybody has these. Yeah. Like I really, really loved Killzone 3, and a lot of people bitched about it, and I really couldn't see what they didn't like.
Yeah.
But it's just people have different things that they like differently.
I think I've realized now that I finished that. I'll just touch on this really quick, but I think because this is going in, this might be going in what we played as well. Because I emailed back to Craig and said, yeah, this is kind of what I thought about Uncharted 3. The biggest thing on that, and I think this might well be because I played Uncharted 2 and Uncharted 3 so close together, is there are sequences that the set pieces in Uncharted 3, there's a couple that are taken almost directly from Uncharted 2, and they just change the context.
Yeah.
So the convoy from Uncharted 2 is played out twice in Uncharted 3.
Yeah, just in the desert.
Once in the desert and once on the boats.
Hmm.
And the train climby thing, I think there are two situations that were really similar to that. And that just kind of felt a little bit like, oh no, it wasn't the train climbing thing. It was the collapsing bridge at the end of Uncharted 2 is kind of...
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like the chateau.
Yeah, the chateau and the very end of the game. The very end of that game is exactly the same as the very end of Uncharted. That's not to spoil anything, because it's not giving you any context, but yeah.
Spoilers!
But the kind of the final scene in Uncharted 3 is pretty much exactly the same as the final scene in Uncharted 2. Yeah. So, well, I don't think it's quite the final, but it's close to the final. It's basically the same. And that kind of just...
Stop talking about Uncharted?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm not being funny, but I've only played half the game and I'm already sick of it.
Yeah. He also says, Peter, when are you going to play some pro clubs on FIFA, I assume?
Oh, I don't know, because also... My FIFA online pass seems to have been broken.
Okay. Are you sure you're signed into the right account?
Oh, that might be the issue. I'll have to check. You know, yes, I am, because my save game was there for Batman.
Okay.
And it was telling me that, my saves were there.
All right. Just for...
But aren't they saved to the station in general?
To the station?
Yeah.
Is that what we call it?
Is that what the cool kids are calling it now?
Don't be asked to call it a PlayStation. The station. It takes too much effort.
Okay, fair enough.
I always call it a station.
The station?
Don't tell me I'm the only person in the world. Can't be. There's got to be other people that call it a station. You know, bring a station around, all right?
I don't know anyone who calls it a station.
I'm not the only one that calls it a station.
If I said station, I would think someone was referring to the train station.
If you had an Xbox, Lewis, someone would said, you call it a box?
Can I have a lift to the station? I wouldn't think they want a lift to my PlayStation.
No, I've never heard of anybody just calling it a station.
Oh, come off it.
Sounds like one of those things people do where they just shorten things to sound cool.
No, I shorten it because I'm lazy.
Anyway, next. Josh L. Hood says, which Sony's older IPs that hasn't seen, he says haven't, but that's grammatically incorrect, that hasn't seen a PS3 edition would you love to see on Vita?
Like a
which franchise that hasn't been on PS3 would you like to see on Vita?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, that's a good question.
I'd say I want to call Vita Vita as well.
Vita? Well, I wouldn't think every time someone said Vita, I'd want a ride Vita.
You probably just call it a ta.
Call it a Vi.
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm trying to think now what there has been that hasn't had PlayStation 3. Do you know what? Actually, I'm not 100% sure that this is a Sony IP, but I think it is. The old Discworld adventure game that was on, I think that was a PlayStation 1 game.
What, like Discworld Noir?
What?
Like the Terry Pratchett?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was an old, like, it was kind of a point and click thing. I think that was on the PlayStation. The original PlayStation.
Broken Sword.
That I would like.
Have been a Broken Sword piercer.
Yeah, but that's not a Sony IP. And I think that they own the IP now for Discworld because that game was made by Psygnosis, who turned into Studio Liverpool. So Sony must own that license so they could bring Discworld back. And that kind of game would be really cool on Vita with a touchscreen, point and click.
I don't care who owns the license, but I want Little Big Adventure.
That would cause brand confusion with Little Big Planet.
Don't care if I want a Little Big Adventure.
I demand Pandemonium.
Oh, I love that game.
Is that a Sony IP?
Probably not.
Yeah, it was on the PlayStation.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Sony, though. Still, make Pandemonium.
If it was on the station, then it's classed as Sony IP. Spyro. Spyro hasn't been back, has he?
It was Skylanders.
Yeah, he's back in Skylanders now, isn't he?
There's not really a Spyro game. Crash Bandicoot? No, Crash Bandicoot hasn't, I don't think.
No, he hasn't been, although he's Naughty Dog own him.
Don't know. Is he? No, because other people have worked on him.
Have they?
Yeah.
Ooh. Get you and your extra knowledge.
Well, because he was like, there were export ports and stuff.
Siphon Filter.
I was going to say that, but there has been a new one, hasn't there?
Well, there was PSP games. There wasn't a PS3 one, was there?
Oh, I can't remember. Probably not. You're the man in the know.
I don't think there's been a PS3 one. I don't even think that they've done like an HD collection or anything. I think they released them on the PlayStation Network a couple of months ago. I think.
As long as they keep it sideways running it, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Next.
Next.
Miffy Lou. Do we know who that is?
Yes.
That's the one we wondered if she was a porn star or a stripper. She turned around and she said, no, I'm a porn star.
She said she was a pole dancer.
Yeah, we said she was a porn star, because except Miffy Lou's quite a porn starish name. And she said no, she was a stripper.
And I think, it turns out, she's actually the girlfriend of AshW92.
Oh, also fair enough. She says, doing
a little bit too much information.
Doing a UG, which she means undergraduate, rather than just UG, psychology essay, will share the misery. Does personality improve survival and reproductive success, having kids and them living for a long time? ? Discuss crying emoticon.
I don't think personality would have success on longevity of life for your offspring.
Mm. Well, also, but reproductive success.
Surely that's down to your DNA. Personality would probably have an impact in your...
Well, part of it is how likely are you to have kids.
Well, there's.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But there's also an argument that people who think positively are less likely to suffer from, stress-related diseases and things like that.
That's true.
Yeah, if you're a really defeatist person, then the chances are you're not going to be a very attractive person.
Yeah.
Not physically, but.
Yes.
Defo.
Yes. I'm going to say yes. Chris?
Yeah.
Yes.
Lewis?
Yeah.
There you go. Just write yes for your essay.
That's helpful.
Hand it in.
For the essay, but yeah.
Bang. Done. Well, she'll probably have her essay handed in by the time she listens to this.
Oh, I don't know. It depends how far, when the deadline date might not be till like next Thursday.
But then she'd be doing it on Wednesday night.
Well, maybe she likes to get ahead of herself.
Pfft, swat.
It depends on the word count. It's like 4,000 words. Yes.
Yeah, writing yes might not be enough.
We could write yes and then just write the lyrics to Meatloaf's Greatest Hits. That'd certainly fill up the gap.
Just write yes in big letters and then copy and paste text from the website. Put that in.
Write yes and then transcribe this part of the podcast.
Right. Forum questions.
Forum questions.
Which are this week titled Something Something Holy Crap Darkseid.
I think he's ripped that off somebody else.
Isn't that the title of a Family Guy special? Yeah. But it didn't have Holy Crap in it. It's just Something Something Darkseid, isn't it?
All right. So he's remixed it.
Yeah, remixing is not a crime. Must be read out by Kevin and Darth Vader impression. Kev isn't here, so we don't have to abide by that. Does Peter know that Star Wars prequels are being re-released in 3D over the next 6 months? Next 6 years?
Yes. I am well acquainted with George Lucas's continued rape of my childhood.
Would you sing a Christmas song created by the TSA regulars?
Probably not. What with it being singing and Christmas, two of my least favourite things.
I sing a lot, but I have a terrible singing voice.
It's the lesser known Julie Andrews song.
I mean, I sing quite frequently, but I can't sing at all. Seeing as it's near the Christmas period soon, or in the case of retail shops, it is, I believe this is the most obvious thing to ask. Would you like some ice cream and a cold beer? Yes, always.
Yes.
I mean, I don't really drink.
I'd rather a cheesecake and a cider.
I don't really drink very much anymore, as we all found, as we found out when I was the only sober one at EGX.
You didn't drink at all at EGX.
No, I was the only person who was sober.
And you went to bed at like 9 o'clock.
That's because I actually had to like talk to people at the show.
You're and look
presentable and actually be able to talk, as we found out the days that I woke up and couldn't talk at all.
Didn't talk to me at all.
Yeah, I do drink, but I don't, not very much anymore.
You did drink a shitload of Mountain Dew, though. That's probably why your throat.
Yeah, I just drink a lot of Mountain Dew. Are you dreading the TSA Game of the Year awards? Not really. Filling a form.
Yeah. Although I'll probably have to write all the shit.
Well, not just you, it'll be collective.
Yeah, we're going to spread it out.
Yeah. Going to give it to chipmunks and whatnot.
Monkeys and typewriters.
Yeah. So that's
and Joss Whedon.
Pretty much how we produce all our content, just no one's noticed yet. And would you like a cup of hot chocolate? Yeah, I had one today, actually. It was quite nice. But I wouldn't go very well with a cold beer. It'd be horrible.
No. I would like a cup of hot chocolate maybe later.
Yeah.
Wait until I finish that ice cream.
Yeah, and not directly after the beer. Actually, ice cream and beer sounds like a bad combination.
I was thinking, when you read that out, I was thinking, beer-flavoured ice cream.
It doesn't sound good. Symposium says, I'd throw a dog right black in your heart by hating felines.
I think that's a reaction to Stephen's last line, where he says that he'll throw a
cat. Oh, yeah. Ken Yakuza 4, just get the Game of the Year for PS3. It's the best in 2011. Brackets, bias. No, I cannot promise that. I don't think any of us have played Yakuza 4.
So. I highly doubt that Yakuza 4 will feature in our Game of the Year coverage.
Yeah. Will there ever be a guinea pig sim? No, I don't think I'd play it. I'm not sure. I think that's a bit too narrow. And guinea pigs aren't the most interesting of pets, are they?
They make some funny noises and they have weird hair.
But they just kind of running the wheel. Isn't that pretty much it?
No. Well, yeah, kind of. Guinea pigs are basically just like big fat hamsters.
Yeah, it's a bit rubbish.
And they make... Guinea pigs can be really noisy, you know. We had loads of guinea pigs once, and they would just... My sister used to breed them. and they squeak.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be that interesting as a sim, would it?
Well, no. It wasn't that interesting in real life, to be honest.
Exactly. Whatever Splash Damage is doing with Disney, as it may be Marvel, could they go for a lesser-known comic character or perhaps a group? It's not even, the thing was, this has never even been confirmed that it's Disney. And in fact, Splash Damage, I think, have come out right and said, no, we're not working with Disney.
Yep.
Or I don't know if they came out and said that, or we're not working with Marvel.
This originated from a story on Industry Gamers, and which was then picked up by Eurogamer and us, among pretty much everybody else. But then the CEO of Splash Damage, who I think is called Paul Wedgwood, actually came out and explicitly said, no, we're not working with Disney. We're not working on a pop culture thing. We are working on Brink.
No, so, no, that's not what he said. What he said very specifically, because it was worded very specifically, was, we are only using the Brink engine for Brink. And I think he says very specifically, no, we're not working on a Marvel property. He didn't say we're not making another game, and he didn't say they're not working with Disney.
He said that they weren't working on a big pop culture.
I don't know if he actually said that. I think he said specifically, we're not working with this one company.
That's what he said to me on Twitter.
Oh, was it? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
This was just what I can remember being reported. But if he said to you on Twitter, that's fine.
Yeah, which may or may not be true, because there are various things involved in this sort of, like, at this early in a development phase, he won't be allowed to talk about a lot of stuff. Yeah. So you never know. We'll see.
But then again, he wouldn't just out and out deny it.
Yeah, and he is a pretty cool bloke, so he would probably just...
Yeah.
Probably more reliable than whatever industry gamers have dug up. Yep. Or made up, maybe. Who knows?
Which came first, the chicken fajita or the egg omelette? It's moving on from... How do you say this name? Because I said it last week as Adelmus, but it's an I, apparently, because the font on TSA is weird.
The font on you is weird.
Adamus?
I would say Ademus.
Ademus, there we go. Which came first, the chicken fajita or the egg omelette?
Can you make an omelette without an egg?
Well, you can't make a chicken fajita without chicken.
But you can make a fajita without chicken.
That's true, but you can't make an omelette without egg. So, egg omelette.
The answer to this question, this is a famous player on the chicken and egg question, which I always think is a completely stupid question, because the course that evolution takes, what came first was the egg.
Probably.
The chicken, by virtue of being alive, was a mutation of some previous kind of life form, which was also born of egg.
Yeah.
So the egg comes first, always.
Although,
plus, although, I think, although if I had to eat those two things in order, I'd probably go for an omelette first as a starter. Fajita as the main course.
Although, you'd have to consider, though, whatever animal first had eggs, not necessarily chickens, but whatever animal first had eggs, would probably have come before the egg did.
Probably, yes.
Because eggs don't spontaneously...
Well, maybe, yeah, some sort of cell regeneration. An egg is basically just a cell, so it evolves from multiplying cells.
Anyway, on a more serious note, have you read the Mass Effect novels or comics? No. Peter?
Yes.
They all right?
I have read the comic that came... I think it was the prequel comic to Mass Effect 2 that I read. It was free one day on the iPhone. Yeah, it was all right. It wasn't brilliant, but it was okay. Worth a look if you're a Mass Effect fan. The Mass Effect games are set in a really great universe, so worth looking out if you really enjoy that world.
I should probably play a Mass Effect thing.
Probably.
I have Mass Effect 2. Blair sent it to me.
Yeah, you should probably play that.
He says, currently making his way through the novels and was surprised to find they weren't actually bad, but really good. So if you haven't read them, I urge you to try them. Well, Peter has read them, so there.
Well, I've read one of the comics.
Okay.
And read the novels.
Muggsy Ballone says, less of a question, more of an observation from last week's movie theme quiz. One of the answers was the theme from Chariots of Fire by Vangelis, I think. Fuck it. I know it was. I shazammed it. Listening to that in the car on the way home from work, I found that if you make the slow motion running movement with your arms in the front seat of the car, It's just like being a devout Christian Scotsman in the 1924 Olympics in Paris. Saves time from watching the film anyway. Probably best to do that from the safety of the passenger side of the car. Try to explain to the police that you were in the Olympics in the Olympics is tough after a hit and run. Quick question for Lewis. A few podcasts back.
Is Lewis still with us?
Lewis, are you there?
Yeah.
He reviewed a stop motion animated Belgian film that looked like the Cravendale milk adverts and was batshit crazy. What was the name of that film? I saw it on Film 4 earlier this year and it was great. But entering stop motion animated Belgian film that looked like Cravendale milk adverts and was batshit crazy into Amazon didn't help when I was trying to buy a copy.
It's called A Town Called Panic.
There you are, A Town Called Panic. And no, I would
not Belgian, it's French, I think.
I would imagine putting that search string into Amazon probably wouldn't retrieve many results.
What it should do.
They should just come up with that automatically. It should be hard coded into Amazon.
Yeah. Be like it should be like a Siri.
Did you
answer.
Mean?
Yeah. Right, I think that's Ooh. It.
Customers who bought this also bought Cravendale milk.
I don't think you can buy milk on Amazon. You can buy most things on Amazon now, but I don't think you can buy milk. You can buy meat. Amazon now sells meat, but not milk.
Okay. I'm not sure I would trust an internet meat order.
I did think about it, but I was like, I don't really want... I could just buy a steak at the shop. Just checking that there's no more questions on here. Peter, you bought Mass Effect, didn't you?
In the Steam sale, yes, I did.
I told you specifically not to buy Mass Effect because you already own
Mass Effect 2.
You own it twice already.
Yeah, but I only own the 360 version and the PlayStation 3 version. I don't have it on PC.
You don't need it on PC.
Well, I don't have it on PC, so by virtue of that fact, I clearly need it on PC.
It's the same game.
Yeah, but there might be mods, and I can make it look much better.
Did you check their
It was only
first.
Like £5. No, I didn't check. Ugh. I didn't actually check these things. I don't do fact-checking. I just do assuming.
Yep.
So, if anybody knows of any good mods for Mass Effect 2, can you let us know?
I really hope there aren't any.
I really don't care. I'll play it anyway.
You've played it twice.
Yep.
Can't be that different.
Are there any, like, Paul Newman skins? That's quite a good mod.
Paul Newman skin?
Not Paul Newman. What's his face? Oh, I've ruined my own joke. Forget it. It's fine.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like the GTA 4 ice
Paul,
mod.
Paul Weller. He's a good mod.
Oh.
Let's start that again. Are there any Paul Weller skins? He's a good mod.
There we are.
Oh dear.
I guess unless it has like the ice thingy mod that you know. Is it ice? The thing GTA 4 has.
Yep, the ice mod and Battlefield 3 apparently they're working on as well.
Yeah, that'd be cool if it had that like super high res crazy stuff.
Well, it'll be. I'll be able to get it slightly nicer looking than the PlayStation 3 version, which is the best of the two console versions.
What is ice mod?
It's like a really like super high res texture pack and modeling thing that some guy modded into Grand Theft Auto 4 to make it look ultra realistic.
It looks crazy awesome.
There's videos on YouTube. You should look for it. GTA 4 ice mod.
Like,
yeah, maybe
there are. No,
I will. Thank you very much.
To the extent that there are literally still shots where you cannot tell if it's the mod or if it's reality.
Yeah, I think that might be stretching it a little bit, but it is very good.
Yeah, shut up, Chris.
No, there was a... No, who was it? It was someone ran like a thing, a feature, just after it came out, which was like, here's a set of... Like, we've mixed in shots of reality to the ice mod shots. Like, not like similar shots, but... Well, similar looking shots, but not like set pieces, you know? Like, yeah. They weren't side-by-side comparisons. And... There were some that you could tell, but there were quite a few where people were just like, yeah, and almost everyone got like one or two wrong. There were just a couple of shots with the ice mod, but you literally couldn't tell.
It is really impressive.
Like,
I take it this is for PC only.
Yeah.
But it is a bit fucking mental.
The virtues of PC gaming.
Yeah, downside is everything fucking breaks and you have to download drivers all the time and...
Yep.
All that bullshit.
Word for it.
My PC is currently in the middle of being broken.
Yeah, my PC has perpetually been broken for about 2 years.
Well, I imagine you're the sort of person that could fix it, Chris.
I could, but I'd have to buy a graphics card.
Yeah. Mine's broken and all I can do is swear at it.
I have more important things to buy, like comic books.
And step-up movies.
And Christmas presents. Lewis, your Christmas present came today. Sitting over there.
Ooh. Fancy.
It's the first one to come as well.
Story of my life.
Yours is on the way. I think I got a shipping notification for it.
I'm going to a continental market tomorrow to start our Christmas shopping.
I know, and you get waffles, you fucker.
Yeah. Now Thanksgiving's over, we're allowed to talk about Christmas. That's my rule.
I want waffles.
Immediately, as soon as Thanksgiving's day's over, we're going to a continental market to look at Christmas presents. The only consolation...
Is it Ice Enhancer?
Yes. I think so.
It looks like shit if you ask me. I am only 30 seconds into the video, but...
So there you go. Lewis's considered opinion.
Ice mod. Not that impressive.
No. Bit shit. Don't know what you're all ranting on about.
What's going on?
Why are you so confused?
An immigrant boy has landed in New York City.
It's changing textures in the video.
Oh,
I was probably trying to show comparisons.
Yeah.
But none of it looks good. They're comparing shit against shit.
Well?
I think you may be looking at a bad video, because Ice Mod, from what I've seen, looks fucking incredible.
GTA 4 Ice.
This is fantastic podcasting, you know. We should probably wrap up while Lewis looks at stuff.
Wrap it up.
This has been episode 45 of the Oscar Media Podcast. I've been, as per usual, your host, Chris Litzkin. You can get me at twitter.com/HowPro. I've been joined
this week. How come you've got all enthusiastic now?
I've been joined this week by...
me!
Peter Chapman from the Sick Faxes and Oscar Media. You can get at twitter.com/ColossalBlue. I've also been joined this week by person does not
Lewis.
Think ice, personally thinks does not
That's
think
me.
The ice mod is really that impressive. Lewis Gaston, you get at twitter.com/LewisGaston.
That's us.
Yes. There you are.
No Kev this week.
No Kev, but he's back next week because his internet's getting installed on the weekend. Then I have Interbobs. He'll be able to come on. Yes. Thank you all very much for listening. We will be back.
Maybe.
Next week.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows? Keep a bit of mystery, Chris. Keep them guessing. Who knows? We might be back next week.
Yeah, might not. Probably actually we might take a bit of a break over Christmas because...
Yeah, because fuck doing these recordings in the middle of Christmas.
Yeah, because Christmas. And I probably won't be here.
Well, we did a Christmas special last year.
Yeah, but we recorded that in like November or something.
Just keep this one.
Cheated. Yeah, this is coming out. We'll put this out again at Christmas.
Yeah.
Just put some.
Awesome. We have to do something for Christmas for all the people that get new iPods.
Just fucking lay jingle bells under the whole thing.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
That's fucking top.
Maybe. Oh, and with that said, thank you all for listening to this episode of the Oscar Media Podcast. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
That we're getting out of you, Lewis. Yeah, it's really cool, isn't it? See, you're impressed now. Now you've seen a decent video.
I take it all back.
There we are. Excellent.
Not all of it. Thank you. Yeah. The only thing I will say is the cars look like they're cell shaded.
Yeah.
They're white.
They're also a little bit too shiny.
Yeah, I think it
never had too shiny.
It kind of looked a little bit like it was photographed that had a little bit of surface blur on them.
Mm. But
so the textures were a little bit muddy.
It kind of looks like it's got a little bit of Gran Turismo 5 syndrome. Really shiny cars.
Well, and really shit smoke effect.
Yeah.
There you go, leave that line in the podcast. That'll take the heat off Uncharted 3.
Yeah.
Somebody said GT5 had shit effect.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, he's hit a fire hydrant. The fire hydrant does look slightly better. I'll give it that.
There you go. Ice mod. Good fire hydrant.
Good for fire hydrants.
Job done.
What more could you want?